Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. Now, in this particular passage, we're going to be talking about a false gift. A false gift. All right, let's look together. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Now, you know, we went through a drought, and during that drought we saw clouds, and we saw clouds with wind, but the clouds never dropped the rain. And so consequently, there became a tremendous disappointment, because what we saw indicated that we should have had rain, but then as the clouds passed, they didn't drop the rain, and it's like, what are those worth? Well, the same is true of a fella that has boasts himself of a false gift. He says that he has the gift to do something, but then when it comes time for you to depend upon that to draw the water out of the cloud, it doesn't do you any good. It's a false gift, and it's a boast. Well, today there's a lot of talk about tongues, and there's a lot of talk about healing. Now, let me say something right from the beginning so that you don't misunderstand at all. And I may have to say it two or three times during the message just to clarify it so you don't misunderstand at all, okay? God is God. I understand that, I believe that, and I know that to be so. And as God, He has been able throughout all time to heal infirmities. He did it all the way back there when Moses was leading the Jews out of the land of Egypt. And to this day, I continue to hear testimonies of how God has healed people. God still heals. Okay? On two different occasions, I have heard of a person being able to witness to another person in a language that the person they were witnessing to understood, but the person who was doing the witness did not know. In other words, it was not a language in which he was trained. And I understand that. I don't have any reason to doubt that. I know that's perfectly possible as far as God is concerned. I don't have any reason to believe that that didn't happen, okay? So don't misunderstand me when I tell you what we're going to talk about this false gift today. I'm talking about the great majority of people today who do numbers of things contrary to the Scripture, professing themselves to have this capacity when in fact, you know and I know, they don't. I'm talking about those, and you'll see clearly through this message today exactly what we're talking about. Now, given the subject matter of tongues and healing, okay, this broadcast will probably go into 2 days because I don't want to rush through and miss something. However, I could go through it pretty quickly and get it all done in, you know, less than 30 minutes, but I'm not sure that that would be the best thing for you and for me. We probably ought to take our time with it. So today we're going to start on tongues, and if need be, tomorrow we'll finish up with healing, and we'll just do both of these, all right? Well, okay, tongues, first of all. Those who boast of tongues today, for the most part, I would say 99.99.99, you know, way up there percent, are boasting of a false gift. Okay? Now, you've got, in order to understand this, you've got to understand the Bible. You've got to be sure of some things right at the start. So don't jump off of there. You know, what happens when there's a conversation regarding the gift of tongues, immediately people say, well, I did this, or I saw somebody do that, or I heard this, or somebody said that. Just relax. You are relying upon experience. You are relying upon what you have witnessed with your eyes. But let's look at the Bible, okay? So just sit back, relax, breathe through your nose, as a friend of mine says, and just take it all in. Okay? You know, what happens so often in conversations like this, where I'm getting ready to talk about something and there are a lot of people who don't believe what I'm getting ready to show you. Okay? Here's what happens. People already begin to form in their minds the things they're going to say to debate what I'm saying, instead of simply just listening to what's being said. I see that happen all the time. I'll sit down and I'll be in a room with a group of people, and one person will make a statement, and it's either controversial or one that upsets somebody else. And the person that's hearing the statement that's made, that's getting ready to respond to the statement that's made, is not listening to the statement. And so when they begin to respond, they're off track. And sometimes I've been so bold as to stop and say, hang on a second, you didn't understand the statement that was just made, or you didn't understand the question that was just asked. You're not answering the question. You're saying what you wanted to say, but you didn't hear what the other person said. Now let them say it again. This time listen carefully, then make your answer. And it is a totally different answer, or a totally different comment, after they carefully listen to what's being said. So let me just ask you to humor me for a moment, okay? Just listen to what's being said. Don't try to conceive in your mind how you would apologetically debate the point, okay? You get no opportunity to do that. This isn't a call-in broadcast today, so you can't do that. So just listen. It's not going to cost you anything but your time. And consider what the words of God say, okay? Number one, not everyone saved will evidence their salvation or filling by the Spirit or baptism by the Spirit with tongues. And there are people today who go around and say, unless you speak in tongues, you have not been baptized with the Spirit of God. You've heard it said before. You may have even said it. You might even believe it, but it's not Bible. And I'll show you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You say, yeah, but what about just to hang on? Just stop. I know that you've already been trained to look in certain verses of Scripture to show this, but you haven't been trained in this verse of Scripture you're getting ready to see. So just breathe through your nose. Just relax, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Jot it down or turn to the Bible if you can. Look at it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, watch it now, are we all baptized into one body? Do you see what you just read there? That is Spirit baptism. Baptism by the Holy Ghost puts you into the body of Christ, and it concerns every person that's ever been saved. Look at verse 12. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being members, many are one body, so also is Christ. He's talking about anybody that's saved, that's in Christ, okay? Anybody in Christ has been baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You see that? I mean, that's every Christian, you got it? So the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ is something that affects every person that has ever been saved. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is the phrase that's used in the Bible. John says, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one that cometh after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. All right, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost is to be put into the body of Christ, and that affects every Christian that's ever been saved. Okay? Now, continue to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 29. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? Well, of course not. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So for somebody to say that you must speak in tongues as evidence of your baptism in the Holy Ghost, there's no phrase in the Bible like that. baptism in the Holy Ghost. You don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You get baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. But you don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's not a phrase that's biblical. That's been made up. For somebody to tell you you have to speak in tongues to show that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they're not telling you the truth. Everybody in Christ has been baptized by the Spirit of God. But not everybody that's baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ speaks with tongues. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, here's the second thing. It was concerning that, by the way, the initial evidence, you know, you've heard that phrase before, the initial evidence of the arrival of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was tongues. That's not true. Go back and read Acts chapter 2 for yourself and look very carefully at what the initial evidence was. The initial evidence of the arrival of the Holy Spirit was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. All right, now here's the second thing. The Holy Spirit has laid down some rules for tongues, and they will not be broken by the Spirit of God. They'll be broken by men and women all the time, but they will not be broken by the Spirit of God, indicating that a lot of this tongue stuff is man-made, not God-made. If it were the Holy Spirit of God, then he would not violate the rules that are laid down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at all. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's begin looking at verse 27, and here are the rules. In this context, down to verse 34, we are all dealing with tongues. The whole chapter is about that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 27. If any man, spelled M-A-N, as opposed to woman, spelled W-O-M-A-N, man, male, M-A-L-E, as opposed to female, spelled F-E-M-A-L-E. If any man, that's the first rule, men only. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Look at verse 34. In the context, the whole chapter is on tongues. Let your women, that's spelled W-O-M-E-N, let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. That is the Holy Spirit that wrote that right there in verse 34. In the context of tongues, women are not to speak in tongues. That's going to knock out 90% of what's going on in the tongue movements right now. You get these congregations, you'll see these women speaking in tongues. They're violating the rule of the Holy Spirit. Then that is not God-made stuff. That is man-made. It's for a show to prove to everybody else that believes you've got to be speaking in tongues that you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's to prove I've been baptized by the Spirit of God. M-A-N, man, and it is gender specific because women are to keep silence in the churches, verse 34. They're not to speak in tongues. That's the first rule. It's violated all the time. All right, go back to verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, that is a tongue that somebody else doesn't understand, let it be by two, or at the most by three. All right, second rule. There can be no more than two, or at the most three people in a service that'll speak in tongues. Violated all the time. You'll see people all over the building speaking in tongues. That's a violation of a rule laid down by the Spirit of God and written out for you in writing by Paul the Apostle. Let it be by two, or at the most, M-O-S-T. That's the top. That's the limit. Three. So when you see more than three people speaking in tongues in a service, that's not the Spirit of God. That's man. At the best, it could be the devil at the worst. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. Second rule. Third rule. And that by course. You say, well, I don't know what that means by course. Yeah, you do. When you sit down at a fancy restaurant and they bring a salad and then they bring something to cleanse your palate and then they bring a soup and then they bring the main course and then they, oops, I said the word. And then they bring dessert. That is a five-course meal. You know what course means? It means one at a time. If you read your Old Testament at all, instead of spending all your time circulating around the five favorite verses that you have in the New Testament that prove you're right and what you're hearing from the Bible is wrong, you would see that David set his porters in their office by course, and the Levites to sing by course. That meant one at a time. So the third rule, laid down by the Spirit of God, written by Paul in inspired scripture, is they got to do this one at a time. And they don't do it one at a time. Then what are they doing? They are violating the rule of the Spirit of God. And if it's the Spirit of God in them that's speaking, he would not violate his own rule. It's man doing it, or at the worst, the devil. So the first rule is men only. Second rule, no more than three. Third rule, one at a time. Fourth rule, let one interpret. Let one interpret. Now, we're going to get to this interpretation thing here in a minute, but I'll say it now and then we'll deal with it in more detail. If the man has the gift of tongues, that is, he can speak in a language that the other people in the audience can understand, there's no need for an interpreter. If he has the gift of tongues, they can understand him. In Acts chapter 2, all those men spoke in tongues. They spoke in 16 or 17 different languages, and everybody there heard them speak in their own language, and there was no need for an interpreter. That's the gift of tongues. When a man speaks and there's the need for an interpreter to understand what he's saying, he doesn't have the gift of tongues. That's why he needs an interpreter. This didn't say if a man speaks in the gift of tongues, it says if he speaks in an unknown tongue. The reason he needs an interpreter is he's saying something that nobody else in the crowd can understand. So the fourth rule is there has to be an interpreter. Verse 28, and if there's no interpreter, he's got to keep silence in the church. Well, you know something that happens? And it happens like this. Every time the guy jumps up, he says what he wants to say in the tongue that he wants to speak it in, and then the interpreter is discovered when he stands to speak. This guy knows that there's an interpreter present before he ever starts to speak. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28, the rule that the Holy Spirit laid down. You say, what are you getting at? Well, if you'll think for a minute what you're looking at here, you're looking at a fellow that's speaking in a language like French or Spanish or German, and nobody else in the crowd understands that except one other fellow. There's a fellow that understands both English and German, for instance, and the German guy stands up and he wants to give a testimony of something great that happened to him on the way over from his flight from Frankfurt. And so he says something in German, and a fellow there in the congregation says, I understand German, let him speak and I'll interpret. Before the man ever gives his testimony, the interpreter is already discovered, and since there's an interpreter there, the man is then permitted to speak. So he says what he wants to say in German, and then the other guy speaks in English, as an example, so that the rest of the congregation can understand. That's the fourth rule. If there's not an interpreter, he can't speak. Let him keep silence in the church. They never do it. Oh, there's interpreters that jump up, but I've got a good friend of mine that already had the solution for that. He says, if you think you've got the gift of tongues, record what you say. Give that recording to a man who professes to have the gift of interpretation and let him tell you what you said. Then take the same tape to a different man who also professes to have the gift of interpretation and let him tell you what you said. Oh, that's blaspheming the Spirit of God, they say. No, it's not. It's trying the spirits, 1 John chapter 4. But you won't do that. Now, my friend told somebody to do that one time, and he did it. The fellow did it. He actually did. He spoke in tongues on his tape. He gave it to one interpreter. The guy told him what he said. He gave it to another guy who professed to have the gift of interpretation. He came up with a totally different answer, and the guy said, one of us is messed up here. He said, I'm going to believe that I'm the one messed up here. I don't think I got the gift of tongues at all, and I don't even think these guys have the gift of interpretation. It's gibberish. But be that as it may, if you're hung on this, you're not going to believe it anyway. I just want to tell you, if you're concerned about that, let two interpreters who profess that don't get to hear each other interpret tell you what you said. You'll know right quick what's going on. Let him keep silence in the church, the Bible says, and let him speak to himself and to God. All right? And then the prophets speak. And then finally, you see, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That's verse 33. So you got these rules here, and they're violated all the time. They will not be broken by the Spirit of God, but they're broken by men all the time. Here's another thing. Tongues is not a private prayer language. Oh, people say, yes, it is. I can get in there and really talk to God about that. If you are speaking led by the Spirit of God, the Bible tells you clearly how it will come out. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, watch it, which cannot be uttered. If it's the Spirit of God that's leading you in the prayer, then it cannot be uttered. It's just Bible. I'm just reading. You know what it says? You say, well, I've had experience. You may have had experience. But what the Bible says is that your experience is the experience of a man or the experience of a devil. But it's not the experience of the Spirit of God, because when the Spirit of God intercedes for us, he intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. You say, but I want a private prayer language. If you want to pray in private, then do what Jesus Christ instructed. You say, well, I don't know. What did he instruct? Jesus Christ said, if you want to pray privately, do this. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All right, there you go. You want a private prayer place and language? Speak to him in a language you understand. That's what Paul said. I'd rather pray with my understanding. Why don't you do like Paul? I will pray with the understanding. That's what he said. When Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Well, then, speaking something you understand, just do it in your prayer closet. Listen, if a man has the gift of tongues, he doesn't need an interpreter. In Acts chapter 2, when they speak, the apostles speak, there are 16 or 17 different languages represented there, and nobody is interpreting anything. When this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Tongues are a language, not gibberish. There's no language that is without signification. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, every language is significant. And when you just speak something, he said, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. It's a language. If the guy has the gift of tongues, he doesn't need an interpreter, because he can speak to somebody speaking French, even though he doesn't know French, and the man in France will understand him clearly, just like Acts chapter 2. If he needs an interpreter, it is because he cannot interpret what he is trying to say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13, when Paul was instructing the congregation in Corinth about tongues, he said in 1 Corinthians 14, 13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. I've watched guys that speak Spanish very well, that's their native tongue, come to the United States of America and try to speak with me, and they struggle with trying to help me to understand what it is they want to say in Spanish. And I was talking to a guy just the other day from Germany, and he said, I want to try to tell you what it is that's in my mind. We have an expression in German here, and it doesn't translate into English, and I'm not exactly sure how to say what it is that German phrase says to help you to understand what it is that's in my heart. So he thought about it, prayed about it, said it, and then I understood it as clearly as I could. All right, he would need an interpreter if he couldn't come up with the interpretation, so that I would understand what it is he's trying to say. The man with the gift of interpretation is a man who wasn't trained in a language that he's interpreting, okay? He wasn't trained in the language that he's interpreting, but what he's doing is he is able to interpret for somebody else that doesn't understand, because he's been given a gift by God to interpret, for instance, French into English for the benefit of the congregation. That's the gift of interpretation of tongues. The gift of tongues is to be able to speak in the language without training of the people that are listening to you. You see, the thing about 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that you've missed perhaps in reading it is that 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the tongues can be learned. They can be learned. 1 Corinthians 14, 16, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? In other words, he could learn the language. Look, verse 23 of the same chapter says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned. Well, if they're unlearned, it's because they haven't learned the language yet. And you know why tongues can be learned? Because tongues in the Bible are always languages, just like you saw in Acts chapter 2. They're always languages. And I can learn French. I can learn Greek. I can learn Hebrew. I can learn Spanish. I can learn German. And if I haven't learned it and my son who speaks German fluently starts speaking to me, or I haven't learned Spanish and my daughter who speaks Spanish fluently starts speaking to me, they're going to have to tell me what it was they were saying, because I haven't learned those languages yet. Listen, bottom line, tongues are for a sign, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. These charismatic churches, they're speaking that stuff all the time, showing off. But to them that believe not. It's to help somebody that doesn't believe to believe in Jesus Christ. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, I just read 1 Corinthians 14, 22, but according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Jews require a sign. That's why tongues came in, and that's why tongues waned. When the gospel went to the Gentiles, the need to prove to these people that God was speaking through them went away, because Greeks seek after wisdom. Listen, when charismatics go to a foreign country to get on the mission field, they go to language school because they don't have the gift of tongues. You got it? So this whole confusion about this was spoken of in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And what you're seeing today is a false gift. And it's clearly discerned from the Bible if you would just take and study out those verses that we showed you today. And may God bless you when you do it. If you're hung up into that thing, I pray to God you'll be able to see clearly from the Scripture that your experiences are either man-made or produced, God forbid, by the devil himself. We'll look at more of that tomorrow when we look at healing.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.